PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and it is my pleasure to welcome back to the show. He is not a city in Texas. He's not a TV show. His name is Austin Tudor, and he is of Callaway Golf fame. AT, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Canada, and I appreciate it. And yeah, nor am I a city in Massachusetts either, from an old movie pull quote there. But yeah, it's fun to be back with you on Off Course and ready to dive deep into some products, talk about my bag and a lot of other fun stuff that we've been working on. So
first thing I want to talk about is the little backdrop you've got going right now. You are, I believe, in the podcast studio. And it's just a nice quick reminder to me how much fun you guys have over there at Callaway. It's always an adventure coming to HQ and seeing what else is set up. How is the vibe right now in the office? Is everyone fired up for end of year stuff and new products coming out?
Yeah, everything's great. And, you know, I had to do it in the podcast studios. You know, we're recording this on a Thursday. I know it's going to go live on a Friday, but it's a little TBT to the old days. So everything's good. We're firing on all cylinders. We're kind of almost shutting the book on 2025 right now and kind of have our eyes forward towards 2026, which is always exciting, as you know, those beginning of the year things that we do. So yeah, everybody's fired up. We've got a lot of things in the pun intended fire going on right now. And can't wait for you guys to see what's coming.
Yeah, it's usually a pretty big wave of excitement as the releases drop. We all get to start talking about product on THP. And my favorite thing is the staying power of these types of products in the bag. And we will get to that because there is a fairly recent addition to my bag that I'm incredibly excited about. And I assume based on your familiarity with my track record, you will be excited too. But we will get to that. It's a solid little tease. What I want to do right out of the gate, Austin, is I think you've seen a fair bit of change in your world at Callaway. We've made a bit of a switch from performance gear to something different. So, you know, being that you are a THP celebrity in your own right, we'd love to hear what's going on with you and what kind of changes you've seen.
Well, that's very nice, Dan. Yeah, it's been since February, I moved over into a new role and told the guys a little bit at the Goat Cup whenever we did that over at Grey Bowl, but moved over to product marketing for Metalwoods. So driver, fairway hybrid, irons and wedges, what we kind of internally refer to it as swinging sticks here, right? So the putter is more of a pendulum piece, and then there's the golf ball. So basically anything that's not putter or ball, that's what I'm working on these days, which has been a lot of fun. You know, a lot of people are obviously familiar with Zach and with Jacob Davison and Gordon Gray. Gordon, obviously, one of our granddaddy guys at the time, too. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's kind of back working on the engine again and the, you know, the fun stuff. It's, we're talking about forgiveness and distance and power and speed and consistency, you know, precision. You know, it's always fun when you can kind of go back and work on the race car again. So, excited to see the reaction towards what we've been working on next year.
So that's pretty interesting. You mentioned, like, obviously focusing on the products we swing and freak out about. And you're also coming from a position where you're working on things that improve our comfort or our the way we get things from one place to the other. Does it feel like a pretty significant change of pace, or is there like a pretty clear combination effort or combo effort between the groups there that you have sort of the same vision in different ways?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I kind of, I see as they're equally important, right? So, you know, when you've got a nice luxury car, there's the fine details of the interior, the stitch on the, you know, the steering wheel and the gear shift and all of that stuff, right? How the dash looks. That's kind of like our performance gear, right? Those are those comfort pieces that are, you know, the show pieces, right? When you get into a nice car, there's that wow factor there. That's what that is. And then now that we've kind of moved over to more of the performance side, that's when I talk about, like, it's more of the engine, right? And dialing in that and how that sounds and all of that stuff, the performance side of it, right? So there's two different types of performance, and now we're on the speed and, you know, accuracy and velocity and all that good stuff.
So deep down, be honest with me, man, do you think this is more home for you talking product in this way? Does this feel like the perfect fit?
You know, Dan, you know, but before I was Galloway, I was with other places for a long time talking about this type of product. So it's very, very comfortable, but it's fun doing it for Galloway. And it's far different from where I've been in the past. The gear was also a lot of fun, right? We talk about a golf bag, but then we actually started introducing technology features within that space that, you know, the industry hasn't really seen, which was awesome. They're both great in their own right. And it's been fun working on both parts of it. You know, it's kind of coming down to this part of the career where it's basically golf ball that I haven't worked on in my career. So.
Okay. Yeah. Looking back at your past, it seems funny to think how far back Aviara in our golf games were then. And that was many, many years ago. It's kind of weird to think about how quickly time passes.
Yeah, I think it was probably a decade, Dan. Honestly.
Is it really? That's crazy.
I'm just doing the math in my head. So yeah, I think that's about when it was. It was probably 10 years ago.
That's wild.
That corner on the back nine, I can still remember it. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we had fun then. I think we have fun pretty much every time we get together, which is great. But the one thing I haven't done is seen you play in quite some time. And what the important thing to do now, like any good golf junkie would do, is make full demands out of what's in Austin's bag. And then I'm going to challenge it all the way through, unless you plan to challenge what's in there yourself. So what's going on in the bag?
Yeah, well, I guess we could start at the top. So I have the Elite TD Max 9-degree in there, and it is just an absolute weapon off the tee. I've never felt more comfortable, more confident over the ball, which is high priority whenever it comes to, you know, hitting driver. So I've got that in with a Ventus 6X with the VeloCore Plus, and I just feel very, very comfortable when I'm standing on the tee box, getting ready to knock one down. So it has the right sound to me. It has a great look at a dress. It's just, I'm not a triple diamond guy anymore. And I realized that. And if anything, I like to have the insurance of that extra couple of CCs to know that I can add some forgiveness whenever I'm teeing it up and whenever I need it. But it's been a phenomenal product for me, very much so at the top of the bag. And then we can go down. I don't know if you want to challenge these one by one, Dan, or I'll just roll through the bag and you can take
it. Yeah, I'm sort of biting my tongue here because you have so many interesting options in driver, and it's also something I want to talk about as well. So maybe we share the experience in this moment, and I tell you that I've added TD to my bag, the triple diamond tour draw.
Oh yeah.
And actually I added it at Grable, which of all places is a heck of a place to add a driver. And you know, I'm totally stealing your what's in the bag moment, your spotlight here, and I don't care. We're friendly enough that I think I can do that. But you know me for over the years, I've played a Callaway driver pretty consistently since, I don't know, Razor Fit Extreme. Like, it's been a long time, and I've had unbelievable success with the products. And up until the last couple years, I've had a little bit of imbalance there and some struggles off the tee that are well documented, despite the emotional impact it has on me, especially here on the show. But I added this driver, man, and it felt so home. It seems like it's a little bit more compact. The profile is great, but for me, like, I'm used to fighting it a little bit, and I feel like I can swing through it and have a ton of confidence in that head. So when you mentioned Max, I thought that was really interesting because you found a world that you wanted to live in, with that head. And I feel like with TDTD, I've found sort of the same thing in my world. And at this point I'm hitting fairways with confidence again, which feels kind of weird to me, man. I'll be honest with you. I'm usually chasing that with a one iron at this point. So
no, it's fun, man. It's fun. You know, obviously we have the luxury a little bit to tinker around here and try new things out, but the last two iterations, you know, with smoke included, I was a max guy, TD Max guy. So that's just kind of my zone. I think that's where I'm going to live. I think it gives me the look of that player's look, you know, especially with the TD, the same thing. While I still can have some insurance, you know, from a larger club head, and it's launching great, it's spinning great, it's just giving me what I need to be successful off the tee. And it sounds like you found the same thing in TD.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago when it was like you went to the TD or Triple Diamond or Alpha or whatever you want to call it at the time. It was the low spin tour option, the smallest head, et cetera, et cetera. And you had sort of one option there. And as stupid as I think as it sounds, when people complain about the number of heads, available heads, the fact that we're both in that sort of same concept, but a different end result between the option lineup, I think that's what is truly telling about your ability or Callaway's ability to provide different options in that realm for people who need slightly different things or are looking for slightly different things. I know it's not really a driver focus show today, but I think it's a curious point. I'm sure you get a lot of this feedback where, hey man, if this head didn't exist in this line, if this sort of version of this head didn't exist, I couldn't play it. So I would hope for you guys on the team there, that's validation of, well, skews aren't the easiest thing to manage, especially when we have a lot of them. People complain, oh, there's too many options, which I think is the dumbest argument ever. But, you know, I assume these kinds of conversations are what validates you guys and allows you to continue to grow those sort of inline variants, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of times we just start to, you know, where it all gets validated. Step one is, you know, obviously on the tour, and we hear that feedback, and, you know, why did we do this? Or, wow, I like that you did that. You know, there's all of that conversation coming in. Simultaneously, we're listening to the market to see what's happening out there. What's selling through? What are people interested in? What are they looking for? And that's where our mix and matrix have come together. Is, you know, you listen to your customers, you listen to golfers, you listen to tour players, and you create a mix that you know is going to work. It's going to give them what they're asking for, you know, from better player all the way to aspirational, you know, in the max fast that might still be a 5 or 10 handicap, but needs a little bit extra speed, you know, that's delivered through a lighter weight setup. So there's options out there for everyone when it comes to a Callaway driver. And it's, you know, obviously priority is going to be getting fit in that proper piece, but also knowing what's out there helps you as well, right? Obviously Triple Diamond, it doesn't work for you or I, but TD does, and TD Max does. So there's the, you know, there's the swing in that as well.
It was like that. It works for me, but I have to make concessions for it. To your point, you know, Henry's keeping you busy. You don't have quite the ability to hit the middle of the face every time. You want that power. You want that explosive profile, but you also need a little bit of help to get there.
Oh yeah.
And in my case, my little flaw is like kind of an inside move. So if I can help square the face up a little bit more, it turns that, that big wavy slice into a little butter cut that is absolutely punishing on my golf course to the course, not me. Like those are the little things that are finite that are incredibly beneficial, and I'm grateful for them. I do have a question on top of that, since you've been sort of a gear junkie for a long time.
Yeah.
This whole progression of driver head, and I'm looking all the way back pre like 430 days when like every tour head was a 430 or smaller. And then they all went big. They all went 450, 460, because the tour guys realized, yeah, okay, maybe it's a lot easier to hit this giant head, and I'm pretty good at golf, so I can like square it up every time. Did that whole progression surprise you?
No, I think the realistic thing is there's a legal limit in which you can only get up to, and why not have the most forgiving piece, you know, for that job? It's kind of how I look at it. It's why I'm playing a little bit bigger of an iron than I used to, right? I want something to help back me up when I can't back myself up, right? So having that little bit of extra assurance that I have something that I'll be a little more forgiving in the bag versus I can still try to, you know, shot shape this, or I can get that seven iron there. Now I do it with confidence. And I think that's kind of where they're going as well. Right. So especially Dan, when you look at how like technology has gone and how we're designing and, you know, and developing now 460 versus 430. Well, that's because a lot of that weight could really be pushed forward, but now we can create a ultra forgiving high speed unit all in one piece. Right. So we're able to go high MOI, but then faces through different constructions and all of this stuff. Right. So I think that's where it really has come down to is the technology that we're able to put into these things now, where maybe a decade ago, we didn't know how to, or couldn't. Right. So if we wanted to have something that was fast, you probably went a little bit smaller, but you put weight super forward and that was that. And now it's like, well, I can give you that same speed. And by the way, I can also give you the forgiveness that you need too for when you don't strike it, you know, tour player. So.
Yeah, I think we've successfully gone off track. I don't want to say off course because it's definitely still on course, but off track on the what's in the bag. I've enjoyed that little segment on drivers because it's something that's been sort of bouncing around in my head lately. Let's get back to what's in your bag specifically.
Since yeah, I know you like to keep it around an hour or less, but you know, we could go all this stuff. So
yeah, true.
Yeah, so under driver, speaking of battling, you know, with a couple of things, I've got the mini and I've got the tie and the elite right now. Got an 11.5 mini that I'm using on certain golf courses. And then I've got the tie and I'm not playing in anything competitively right now. So I've got 15 clubs and I'm happy to tell you that. I've got a decision to make in a couple of weeks when I go down to Georgia for my dad's member guest as to kind of what's going to go in the bag. So we're going to, you know, do a practice round or two, try to figure out what really works at this course. But right now it's both of those are just so much fun. The consistency and the distance that I'm getting from the tie to that little bit of extra distance is interesting off of certain tees, like at Goat Hill Park, right? So that mini driver is kind of falling in its spot there where it may not fall in its spot on like a 7,200 yard course where I need that three wood off the deck to be consistent for going, you know, going for something if, you know, my dad and I are playing in the shamble, right? So there's interesting little move in that second spot right now. They're kind of jockeying for position as we play a little bit more. Funny enough, I'm going to go out to the Hideaway on Saturday and play out there and say hi to all of our good friends out that direction as you wear your Hideaway shirt. Yep.
Yes, sir.
So we'll see how it goes out there with those two as well, because that could dictate what's going to go in my bag for the granddaddy too. So
yeah, we all knew you'd be practicing. That doesn't surprise me at all. The expectation of you being the anchor once again for the squad is not surprising to me. So yeah. So that's interesting. You talked about that battle. I've heard a lot of people just drop driver altogether in replacement of the mini. And there's been a lot of really positive feedback on THP as it relates to Callaway's mini this year. So why the three wood versus the mini as opposed to the driver versus the mini?
Well, I mean, I'm going to knock on every kind of piece of wood that's in here, but I'm hitting my drivers so well. It's more about what happens in that second slot now for me.
Okay.
You know, do I need to try to get something to 255 versus the 245 that I hit my three wood? That's, you know, obviously carry distances and things like that. Yeah. And also it's just like a fun test to see what goes where. There's certain holes out here that mini is absolutely perfect for, the three wood's okay for, and the driver's like a high risk, high reward. So it's just been a fun little duel, you know, with me kind of mediating that duel between the mini and the three wood.
Nice. Well, let's keep going. Do you have, I assume based on the latest release, you have at least tickled the bag with a hybrid recently, but you do have great options. So what's going on after the three wood?
Yeah. And that's the, you know, good segue into that. You know, we've obviously seen on THP a few times, but there's a lot of lefty options. Being, you know, the resident lefty here, we have a lot of toys that we can play with and throw in the bag versus kind of other places. And it's fun to be able to kind of toggle and back and forth between options and things like that. And I just put in the new UW, which has been it's in my bag for the last three generations, which has been fun. So had the 2021, the 23-3, and now the 2025 in the bag. And gosh, if you liked that look of that 21 model, this is your club all day long. It is really pleasant to look down on. It's got the carbon fiber crown on the top. I mean, it's really, really nice. And it's my 235 club. Let's just get it right down the fairway. If, you know, a short par four, you know, we've got the option there. Long par three, I've hit it on that before. It just is, it's like a security blanket, that club. That I don't see a UW ever leaving my bag.
I don't think at your skill level you should be allowed to use that. It's got to be too easy for you.
Hey, I told you, I'm making my choices for distance and forgiveness, and not maybe so much workability and control. But gosh, that UW is the unicorn of all unicorns, because you can move that thing left, right, up, down, however you want to. Still forgiving, has a great sound, has a great look at address. I was telling you before we got on the call, I looked up on our .com, able to kind of see like what we're selling, our top sellers and everything. Since last Friday, the UW is our lead dog on the on .com right now, which is really, really cool. It obviously shows that there's a very big following for that product. And people get it. Like, they love thinking about the versatility of that product too. You know, it's kind of a fairway, it's kind of a hybrid, and you kind of get the benefits of both out of one product. And gosh, if you can do that with one club and we only get 14 of them, that's pretty solid.
Well, some of us play 15 unceremoniously, unapologetically.
You know, as that was coming out of my mouth, I knew you were going to say something.
Well, you know what? Since this what in the bag is going to be scattered and battered all day long, let's just go straight into the conversation about the new utility family of products you guys just dropped. Yeah. Some great information already posted on THP. I think a lot of people have had their sort of early, not touched, not yet seen in person thoughts on the product lineup. They are all incredibly unique in their own right. But what I think is really funny about this is every one of those heads is so polarizing for a golfer. Like, I look back to, so I'm a super hybrid guy through and through. The very first iteration, I remember hitting it at Hammock Beach. JB's probably laughing at me right now because I just hit it so stinking well. I never even thought like that UW is a club. It didn't mean anything to me. I didn't need one. I didn't want one. I didn't care, because that super hybrid was so good. Yeah. That it was like, I'm home. And ever since then, each iteration that's come out, I'm like, oh, I'm a super hybrid guy. No doubt. No question. And it wasn't up until the last release that I was like, okay, maybe I'm a little bit of like a utility iron guy. Like, give me the 16 degree and see what I can do with it. But I feel like a lot of golfers, and especially a lot of THPers, they find themselves in that singular line where, oh, I'm a UW guy through and through. Oh, I'm a super hybrid guy through and through. Do you see a lot of that in the feedback you get? Do you see golfers like really lean into it, or do you see groups of people who sort of pick and choose depending on the line, depending on the loft?
Yeah, that's a good question. I, you know, when I look at that line from when we're talking about the Apex Utility Series, and to me, that line has anything and everything for the top of the bag for the aspirational golfer. It's you know, they might have an elite, you know, hybrid in the bag, but that super hybrid, the UT and the UW, are for that golfer that's a little bit more aspirational. They're putting more time into their game. They want something specific out of a product, and those three, you know, pieces within our lineup offer that. So, you know, with the utility iron, I could definitely see, you know, you from a launch perspective being naturally drawn to that product. You know, I joke with the team, but I think it's the most over-engineered utility iron. You know, it's six-piece construction, but all of those things are working harmoniously together to create a great sound, to create some amazing forgiveness, to create some low face flexure that gives you a little bit of extra speed out of an iron face. There's so many things going on with that technology that's really, really cool, while still looking like your traditional classic utility iron from a dress. So packed with performance in that thing, with workability, you're going to get some forgiveness on those lower face strikes, which is awesome too. It's a really unique golf club, especially how it's been put together.
It's the visual that really captures me. You mentioned at a dress, but let's be honest, golfers don't generally pick what they like just at a dress, or incredibly stupid people or humans, whatever you want to call us. But, you know, it also tells me there's this sort of loss value in invisible technology right now. All these hollow body products that are coming out, all this hidden technology that's getting dumped inside it. It's hard to react to something you can't see. So when you actually see that on the top, it's like, okay, there's a lot going on here. And you guys have, you mentioned six pieces. There's an exploded visual on your website that shows all these things going on just in the utility iron itself, not to mention the AI face design that exists on it as well. I mean, that it's not as fun to go to the website and see it and be like, okay, yeah, that's all there. It's kind of fun to see a little bit of that breakout in person. It's not hidden behind a weld line. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's the cool thing about that technical image, you know, when you're talking about the FlexCore technology, how it all comes together from the face down through the urethane microspheres that we put into that, how the construction comes together from a body and hosel construction all the way to that back bar and the tungsten, you know, floating weight that's kind of in there. There's so much going on there. It's a construction that, like I said, it's taken our engineers, it's an engineering feat to put something like that together, which is just really, really cool, and make it sound phenomenal.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm most curious about, because you guys do a great job at making your products sound good. I am so interested to hear not just how it sounds, but also the differences between last couple versions, which I've played and enjoyed a lot. So like that, I feel like you guys are always focused on that. And it's easier to discuss this when you're talking about something like a driver, because year over year, it has subtle changes sort of required. I mean, you guys went a full wrap of a material that you wouldn't normally see on a driver. So inevitably it's going to change when it goes to metal to a composite. So like that idea there, that it will shift a little bit is inevitable, but I assume when you're applying these things, there is a window you have to stay in, or you want to stay in, to feel like it still represents the brand well.
Yeah, no question. But the old saying still rings true, and sound is feel, right? So what we hear coming off of that is an indicator as to how we hit it, how we struck the ball with it. So something that's very important to us, like you said, I just, you know, there's some other products in the works right now that we were talking about how the sound's coming through, and, you know.
Oh, sorry. Which ones are those, Austin? I didn't hear you.
It's fun to hear, you know, some of our engineers talk about how that sound is actually created, and it's not through the face itself. It's actually how the face reacts with the soul, and then the soul is creating the sound of that face.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, let's just say it's a driver, right? You've got the driver, it's hollow on the inside. While the strike is on the face, that sound, the waves come off, right? From a modal analysis perspective, the waves come off and they hit down and up, right? So it's not really the face that's making that noise. It's how that strike radiates through the face and into the back of the club. So that's why you see so many different things being worked on, you know, inner construction wise on drivers, but not to get off topic. And then,
I mean, that's pretty on brand or on topic for me, talking about the crazy ways you can have impact on sound. And it's always such a curious thing, because the challenge that everyone faces is what sound will everyone like? And I think the reality is there is no sound that everyone will like, and chasing those right sounds, not just from a standardized perspective, but also from a strike perspective. It's not going to sound the same if someone who swings slow swings it versus someone who swings hard. Like, it's going to produce a different sound. So finding that happy medium is got to be a brutal challenge, which I don't envy at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the thing too, right? So we have a lot of different models, right? We have the standard all the way through the triple diamond. Those are also going to have different sounds as well based on the construction. Some of them have a 360 chassis, right? So that carbon is going to change the sound of it versus having maybe a titanium crown or, you know, a titanium body. So there's a lot of different things going on within all of that for sure. But you've got to have the right tuning fork for each model. Triple diamond needs to have a sound of a triple diamond, and your core model needs to have that sound as well. Something a little bit more friendly and familiar.
Yeah. Well, let's talk UW because I know you want to, even though, listen, we just skip over and go to Super Hybrid, my beloved Super Hybrid. I know other people listen to the show who actually are obsessed with UW and put it one versus my 1A. So tell me what's going on with UW. Why is it such a lasting product in the lineup, and how careful are you to make big changes to it?
Well, I mean, it's something that's obviously been birthed out of tour play, right? And when a tour player likes something, or a lot of tour players like something, you're very hesitant to make drastic changes on something that's working so well for, you know, the best players in the world. So I think this is more of those. This one is more of an evolutionary product. It's don't mess it up, but make it, you know, make it perfect, which can be a real challenge to the different teams. But, you know, by being able to put some AI into the face, by adding that carbon crown back and all of that stuff, I think we've got a real home run for anybody that's looking to, you know, get a little more distance at the top of the bag, get the right distance at the top of the bag. You know, we're engineering these things to be precise scoring tools from a long ways away. That's really the ultimate goal. We want to get you from A to B as fast as possible. We want you to have that confidence, whether it's off the tee or off the turf, to go for it with confidence. And I think we've done it really, really well with this new U series in general, but the UW is a absolute home run in my bag.
And a fat chunk of tungsten sitting on the bottom support that contact. The one element there that I think is really interesting, and it's sort of like, it's hard to see it unless you read it. That's the step sole design, which I thought was really interesting because it's a very subtle adjustment to a traditional profile, but I assume it has pretty significant impact on the way you interact with the turf.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you brought those up. I was going to get there. The way that the sole features are kind of coming together is one from that step sole design, right? So basically that creates a reduction in turf interaction, allowing you to get through it a little bit cleaner, a little bit more efficient, save and preserve some speed through that, while having the stability of a tungsten weight in the tungsten speed wave up front adds that stability, adds some control, and then low on the face, you've got a little extra mass to help you get there as well. But I love just the fact that when you add that step sole design, which is kind of something new for us, right? Hasn't been around a long time, but it's been around. And then you take the tungsten speed wave, add those two together, you've got one of the most consistent soles, you know, in a UW and a super hybrid for that matter.
So you have this in the bag. Is it in the 19 degree spot?
I have the 19. Yep.
God, you're so predictable. It's unbelievable. why 19? I assume that's like a 5-wood position, the traditional 5-wood location. And I'm also going to make an assumption here. You want a product that you can elevate quickly and land softly from a challenging distance.
Yep, exactly right. You know, the 19 fits the 235 mark in my bag. The 21 doesn't. It gets too close to my 4-iron. So 19 just works out perfect. That's the easy answer, Dan. But the beauty of that club is I can set it in the back of my stance and hit a little trappy draw with it without question.
Really?
Or I can go up in the front of the stance, open the stance, and hit a nice little cut around a corner. Like it's almost, it's a cheat code at the top of the bag to me.
It sounds like you're going to be a real threat at that member guest is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we'll see. We've got to make sure everybody's games are up to snuff. But
that's impressive. I think the most common piece of feedback I've listened to when people talk about UW is just how consistently easy it is to get it elevated and get it moving forward in a predictable direction. Yep. You might be one of the first people I've talked to that really celebrated the subtle workability of it. But I think it's also important to note that just because it's that like less, I would argue more friendly hybrid versus let's say the super hybrid, which is like distance reborn kind of thing.
Yeah.
It can still move the ball left to right, which I think is really important for people to hear.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's got that traditional look to it. Mm-hmm. It's not like a super hybrid where you've got a titanium face on this thing. It's a you know, a driver and a hybrid, you know, driver technology and a hybrid is what we've said for years with the super hybrid, right? And UW is not really about that. It's about that right launch, that nice high launch, dropping in on a pin. It's about being ultra consistent, being precise from a long ways out. And super hybrid, it's funny that it falls in your bag, given that the speed that you have. Because originally that design is more for a player that finds maybe a 3-wood or even a driver challenging, and that's the top of the bag solution for them. They may have a mini in the bag as well, but maybe it's a mini and then super hybrid, and then they get into the rest of their set progression. But it's interesting that one fell in your bag and the love that you have for that product. So I'm going to turn the table on you a little bit and say, Dan, why super hybrid and why not UW?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And I think a lot of that stems from when I first hit it. One of the easiest things for me to do is produce launch. And I think that was sort of counter to the idea of the UW. And I wanted something in that slot that would be really boring through the air, flatter and sort of falling over in land. The idea that as much as it could be a 3-wood replacement, I was trying to just get very simple, never right side distance and results off a product. And that was effectively what I got. I mean, I used that club on so many holes and it was almost like an afterthought. You pull it, it goes down, it turns over left, it's flat, I can play it in wind, and it goes really far. Those checked every single box I could possibly ask for, and it dropped a little bit of spin for me, which, again, I've improved that a little bit, but those were all massively important elements to my golf game. So when it came to making that decision, it was just born on results, man. I took it to the range. I hit it into the wind at Hammock Beach, and it was like, yeah, dude, this makes perfect sense for me. And I made a lot of people mad that weekend because I hit it so far that, you know, pulling out drivers and I'm pulling out this little mini hybrid and blasting it by them. So
that's a hybrid, a super hybrid.
Yeah, that's fair. It looks small compared to their driver, is I guess what I'm trying to say. But you know, that was the extent of it. And it did get away from me a little bit. When the next couple models came out, I had one in the bag for a while. I didn't explore the last iteration too much just because I've had some challenges with full face products like woods, drivers, whatever it might be. So I've been sort of crushing on irons for the last couple of years, as much as I'm embarrassed to say. But the shocking part of this being that it's fairly new is I actually had a chance to hit it on the range at a familiar place to you in Grable a couple weeks ago. And man, since we're talking about the best product in the line right now, by my standard, I cannot believe how quickly comfortable I felt. It's definitely a new look for it. But dude, they were all dead straight. JB's to my left laughing at me saying, what is wrong with you? He even posted on THP about it that it was pretty impressive. I'm shocked, man. I'm a little bit shook and shocked that it had such an easy entry into my soul after hitting it.
Well, I'm just waiting for you to say that you want a 2, a 3, a 4, and a 5, because that's all the options, and you're super all the way at the top of the bag.
Well, what is the 2? 18, 17 degrees still?
I think it's 17, 19, 21, 24, something like that, yeah.
Oh, it's 16 now. My goodness. I mean, that is a 3-wood replacement if I've ever heard one. Oh, I know a couple of them were 17. It sounds like you dropped the loft a little bit. Buddy, tell me what in the world, what sort of crazy magic sauce you guys did to make this thing so effective, and why doesn't everyone need one?
You're talking about the super hybrid still?
Yes.
Well, the crazy sauce is putting a titanium face on a hybrid. I mean, step one, go thin, go fast, right? So having the step sole that we talked about, right? So you're getting in and out of that turf more efficiently. Potential for extra speed, you know, throughout the ball. And then obviously it's a friendly face, friendly top line to kind of get behind and feel confident off the tee with. I mean, I would, you know, again, push back on you as somebody that's more of a savant with the super. Why super hybrid? Are you using it off the tee a ton? Are you using it off the fairway? Like, what's the main move, the number one driver for that? That's what I really want to know.
Yeah, I think that's the best question, is what application is the goal? And there aren't too many situations where I'm sitting at like 240 in a fairway and I'm desperate to hit something, or even let's be just normal here and pretend like this doesn't sound stupid, but like 250 to 255 sitting in a fairway thinking, man, I really need to hit this hard. I mean, that would be where it would apply. For me, where it would apply is a handful of tee boxes where I want to especially turn over left and get that really easy, no effort distance off the head and allow the product to sort of do the work for me. So where I've been with that position right now has been with a utility iron, whether it's in the 16 degree or 18 degree range, but you have to work pretty hard to hit it at a consistent distance, you know?
Yeah.
And what I realized hitting JB's version of the super hybrid was, I mean, I'm just not even trying and it's going a crazy distance. And I was hitting it against a 2-iron at the time. And it's like, dude, this is so easy to hit. So I guess that would be my perspective, is if you're looking for something that would support simplified distance without a ton of emotional investment, this seems to be like the perfect option. What I thought was really interesting is you guys also went with a different top line, a different finish on the top of the crown. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I mean, what you can look back at the heritage, right, all the way back to Big Bertha and having that coloration. So obviously we do a ton of, you know, voice of golfer, voice of customer feedback, and we tried a couple of things on the super hybrid, and that's the one that stuck, and everybody seemed to like it. It has more of a traditional Callaway look to it while being an absolute distance machine. So it's kind of cool to bring those two worlds together. You know, it has this very traditional, very Callaway silver crown with the chevron on the top, point you in the right direction, and then just an absolute distance machine from the face and sole perspective.
You know, the funny part for me is looking down at it, it sort of mimicked the top line of a utility iron, which I've been playing for so long that I've had sort of slightly different swings between a wood and an iron, and that's where I've had some success with the utilities, is that I've been able to convince my brain that they're just like iron, so swing it like an iron, don't like chop wood like you do with a wood. So when I put it down and had that profile, I was like, oh, this is just another utility. And I hit the first shot, I was like, oh my God, I think I figured it out. It's such a funny thing. But I know it's sort of polarizing to have different colors and people all have their perspectives. I think it looks incredible. And to your point on heritage, I think that's really interesting, because when I think back to some of the older school Callaway products, I definitely have an instant visual when I do that. And it, looking at this head right now, man, you guys nailed that.
Yeah, I think it, you know, whenever you do a series like this too, right, that there's three very different products within the Apex Utility series, and just by having that differentiation of the Super versus the UW at the top, that kind of also helps you lean towards a different product as well. Or maybe, you know, the UW I find very attractive versus the Super Hybrid. For you, it's the Super all day and then UW. So it's design with intent always. And you can really see it once you start talking about cosmetics.
It's crazy we're still friends despite having such polarizingly different perspectives, you know?
Yeah, no question.
Well, we need to finish up the what's in the bag. I love disrupting you all the way through, but let's talk about irons real quick and go into the bottom of the bag. So before we wrap up.
Yeah, I've gone from, I was playing the CBs, and now I am a AI 150 diehard.
Diehard.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable what technology is in that product, where my 7-iron, again, is back to an easy 175, where, you know, yes, it's stronger lofts, but I'm still seeing the launch that I like, the flight that I like, the landing angle that I like, while being confident that I can get it there, you know, with the 7-iron. With a little bit of wind in my face. And confidence is everything when you talk about approaches, right? You want to be able to get there. You want to be close. It's all proximity based. And feeling confident again about hitting irons, knowing that if I miss it, I have something there that's going to save me a little bit. That's the reason the 150s are working in the bag really, really nicely right now. I've got them from 4 to P. I mean, it's a perfect set for my game and the current state of my game right now. Now,
wow,
you
that's
know,
a statement, man. I would have expected it's some version of a combo set.
Yeah, no, it's full 4 to P. I mean, I had the Apex Pro 4-iron paired with the CBs at one time.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me, four and five. I had 4 and 5,
yeah. Which are cheater sticks. Let's be honest; those things are insane. Yeah.
Yeah, the beauty about the 150 is, you know, it's essentially kind of where the Pro was, but done way better. And in my humble opinion, I think the lines look cleaner. I think it still very much looks like a player's golf club at address. But you also know that you've got some forgiveness baked in, which is awesome too.
Okay. And then wedges?
Yeah, so we get all the way into Opus SP with spin pocket and the 54 degree through 60. So I have the 50 degree S, the 54 degree S, and then the 60 back in the X. And that was a departure from last year. And then bringing that back in, I think having that X grind back in, you know, a high bounce versatile grind is something that we were maybe missing last year. And with over and abundant support, X is back in the line for SP.
Great. And then it's, putter.
Yeah, square to square jailbird.
You said that before we went live today. You actually stated that club as opposed to just what's in the bag. You specifically mentioned that product. I had a chance to roll in earlier in the year, and it is pretty insane how controlled and comfortable you can get with it. There has to be a reason why you're excited. Are you putting well?
I'm putting very well with it. Again, let's really not mess up this trend that we have going right now. But yeah, I'm feeling really confident over the ball. You know, I use the Chrome Tour in the yellow with the triple track. And it's like, you know, you just set that ball down, use both eyes, set it down with the triple track, get behind it with the square to square and pull the trigger, right? You're not guessing your lines at that point. It's a point and shoot game, and that's where I'm trying to get my mental approach around putting. I try not to approach it hardly at all with mental, but the more mental and more crazy you get around putting, I think that's when you really start to see the woes come out. So the more you can just make it comfortable and automatic, you know, there's no judgment anywhere that you have to make on a certain putt.
If you've that has to be pretty frustrating, though.
What's that?
Well, if you have everything square and correct, then it's only your bad read that would cause you to miss. So now it's all your fault. You have nothing to blame but yourself. That is a cold, horrifying world to live in. I love blaming other stuff.
No. If you don't have your line right or your speed right, that's on you.
Yeah. That's not in my world. It's not. It's that little leaf that's on the other side of the green that moved the ground before I putted. Yeah. So why Chrome Tour yellow?
You know, I played it. Darth Finley, Jason, I think he had some in his office. He's like, "You ever tried this before?" And I said, no. So I tried it and I stuck with it for like one of our, we have like the Callaway Golf Championship, where we do, you know, week to week throughout the summer. And then we have like the playoffs and all that stuff. And a couple of years ago, I won it with that ball, but in the semifinal round, I made a hole in one. And I had never made a hole in one before. So it was the first ball I ever made a hole in one with was a yellow ball. So I was like, okay, guess we're sticking with it. And then that very next year, I shot my lowest round ever with a yellow ball. So I'm like, okay, we're just going to keep this. This is now part of the ATCG identity when it comes to being on the golf course.
That's a pretty good argument. I'll tell you what. I've had, sorry to back away from the mic. I've had so much fun this year with Callaway's custom balls. A couple of my memories from this year are, it's really not focusing very well, but it's the Turnbox ones.
Oh yeah.
I went and played a member guest with our buddy J-Man, and I used one version of the ball each day. So I have all four of the different ones to remember that. I think the Quail Hollow one they did this year was unbelievable. That's by far my favorite of the bunch. And yeah, Chrome Tour is kind of amazing. It's such a fun ball to play.
It's a really fun ball to play. And I actually played in a little scramble thing on Tuesday, and I hadn't really tried Triple Diamond that much. And I had a friend try it out. He sits around 175 mile per hour ball speed off the driver. And he hit this one drive into the wind, and it was greenside. And he was like, "That Triple Diamond's legit." And I was like, "Well, that's awesome to hear, like, somebody else say it." But yeah, it's a very fast golf ball. And I told him about, you know, how we've gotten to it and all of that stuff and what it's going to feel like. And yeah, maybe feel a little harder off. He likes a ball that's a little bit softer off the face, but tried that out. Without question, he was like, "That ball is quick."
Wow. Like,
it put him somewhere that he hasn't been before on the golf course, which was cool.
Yeah, into the wind too. That's wild.
Yep.
I sort of lived in the Chrome Soft world and out of spin requirement. And I know I've improved my swing a little bit to where it's not spinning as much anymore. Yeah. But man, jumping into Chrome Tour has been a really fun experience, and it's creating some great results for me. So, you know, I know people out there have their preference, but it's tough when something new comes out. You got to try it, right? You got to explore and see what happens.
How do you know if you don't try it, right?
Well, listen, the last time the first time I tried it, I didn't make a hole in one. And the second time I tried it, I didn't shoot my personal best. So we don't all know, like AT knows, but we can certainly try.
Are we changing it from Bonos to AT knows? Is that what you're trying to hit that
Dude, I don't know. It's always so much fun having you on. You have any final thoughts for the folks out there? Any granddaddy smack talk you want to throw out there before we wrap today?
You know, I'm looking forward to go ahead and, you know, this on Saturday, get out there, see what the course looks like. We're just going to play one round. You know, I'll make some mental notes as to where some of the THPers are probably going to hit it out. And, I'll probably grab a yardage book for that just to kind of mark that down so I can say, yep, I was right there. No, I'm just kidding, obviously.
I don't want you to kid. I want you to do it, and we need validation. I'm willing to participate in a THP thread where you're calling THPer shots before they even get there.
That would be wild if I was able to do that.
Imagine you were right, too. Could you imagine the emotional turmoil of the dudes you're playing when you post where they're going to hit before they even get there? Like, oh, that's where you're going to hit. Could you imagine standing on the tee box thinking, if I hit it to the left here, I'm going to lose my mind. Meanwhile, you're over there like, yeah, it's happening. It's happening right now.
We call that chess and not checkers, Danny.
Well, I can't wait to see how things come together. Fresh new member added today. And yeah, it's always an adventure. The live thread is chaos. It's going to be a ton of fun to follow. And listen, I hope you play well, but you know, not too well. Be gentle.
Yeah, we'll see. No, I talked to Al last night, and you know, we were just catching up on a couple of things, and he's typical Al, just so excited for December and what's to come.
Awesome. Well, great to see you, buddy. I'm glad you're doing well.
Yes, sir. You too. Thanks for having me on, and thanks to THP for joining us through this little trek in my bag and the utility series and why Dan plays a super hybrid.
Yeah, basically interrupting AT for an hour has been my pleasure. If you guys aren't playing golf this weekend, have a great time. I am celebrating 41 this weekend, so I'm going to play a ton of golf.
Attaboy.
And hopefully I play well. Things are looking up for your guy here. So I'll certainly update on the forum how that goes. And have super hybrid dreams. If you need to go check out the new lineup, they all look awesome. AT is going to tell you to hit UW. I'm going to tell you that the super hybrid is the hybrid to play. Go make a decision for yourself and tell us on the forum what you think. We've got some great threads going on over there. We'll see you guys next week.
And make sure that you wish Dan a happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah. Take care, guys. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
What's going on, everybody? Jackson Bragg here. Another episode of Shaft University. First question today is the differences between hazardous and Denali. Hazardous traditionally has been a guy that's been really aggressive through transition, someone that benefits from a firm feel in the handle and the tip section. Denali, on the other hand, produced by 18 months of research from our R&D and engineer department, is more for a player that demands something smoother, something they can feel in transition, coming at you with a high, a mid, and a low launch in the Denali products. Hazardous tend to launch a little lower and spin a little less. Hope that helps.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.